You know, it's raining outside. Praise God, we needed some more rain. Amen. Apparently, we did. You know, we are going to pray that the Lord God's Holy Spirit will rain in here too. Amen. No, for everybody. Amen. Listen, I got to warm you up because you know what? I believe that today you're going to need it because we're going to be talking once again about spiritual warfare. And anytime we talk about spiritual warfare, Satan seems to be on the prowl. Just a little extra, and maybe even a lot extra. Did I raise my windows up? Everybody's wondering now, right? Wow. Dear friends, did you know that we are reminded in God's Word that we are fighting a spiritual battle? That we're not fighting in the flesh and blood. And if we attempt to fight in our flesh, we're going to lose. I don't know about you, but I don't like to lose. Have you ever played golf with me? Have you ever played dominoes with me? Have you ever played any game with me? I don't care if it's tiddlywinks. I'm going to try to beat your socks off. I don't like to lose. But I'm going to tell you, in the big things, I hate losing even more. I want to win in life. I want to win physically, emotionally, and I especially want to win spiritually. And I want you to remember this. Any progress you make to winning in life, anytime you are going to win, it is going to be because you trusted in Jesus Christ and not in your ability. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read two passages today. Beginning with Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 10 through 13. This is kind of our theme verse through these messages on spiritual warfare. And then we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now listen. How many times have we told people, you just need to be strong. You just need to be strong. Well, let me remind you, it's wonderful to be strong, but it's even better to be strong in the Lord, to depend on God. Be strong, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of who? Of God. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Friends, sometimes we don't make progress forward until we learn how to stand firm where we are. God wants you to stand firm. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. This is the same theme, is it not? He says we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against spiritual principalities. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not physical. But mighty in God for pulling down what? For pulling down strongholds. For casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now this scripture, dear friends, reminds us that we are not in a physical, but a spiritual battle. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, dear God, we ask you to help us to think daily about how our thinking process influences our actions. God, show us the ways that Satan is trying to capitalize on the way that we think. Help us, Lord God, to identify the ways that Satan is trying to scheme against us. And God, help us to use your word and help us to use the strength of your Holy Spirit to defeat his attempts to place our mind and our hearts in bondage to sin. We know he wants us to lose, but God, we want to win. Help us. In the name of Christ Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you be seated? Last week, we discussed how Satan wants your mind. How Satan wants our minds. Because if he can get our mind, he can throw us off track. He knows the damage that he can do by blinding our mind and by poisoning our mind. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 that we just read reminds us that Satan is so serious about getting your mind, your brain, your thought process, that he prepares and he devises strongholds to grab you and to keep you enslaved. Now, does that make sense? Do you know what a stronghold is? A stronghold, dear friends, is a place to hold one captive. A place to keep you, someone a prisoner. Now, a spiritual stronghold is a place to hold someone captive in sin. Have you ever felt that way? No matter what you do, no matter how strong you seem to be or want to be, that sin just seems to keep coming and you just can't seem to battle against it. Well, here are a couple of definitions for strongholds that we're going to address today. Number one, stronghold, an entrenched pattern of thought, an ideology, a value, or a behavior that is contrary to the Word and the will of God. Do you have thoughts? Do you have words? Do you have values or behaviors that are against God's will? Folks, you know what that's called? One little bitty word, sin. There's a second stronghold definition that we're going to talk about today, and it is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are contrary to the will of God. Have you ever gotten to the place where you thought, well, I'm just not even going to try to battle that anymore. I'm just going to let it go. Folks, that's called a stronghold. And Satan uses it to keep you in sin. Now, Satan seeks to enslave us by strongholds. And I'm going to share with you three main sources this morning. Now, I'm not going to cover them in depth. Not all of them, because there's not enough time today, so we're going to come back to that. But the first one we've talked about just a little bit already, and that is fostering wrong thinking. Satan wants your mind. We talked about that in depth last week, so today I just want to cover a couple of little things about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 suggests that there are some strongholds that are in human reasoning. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that we in our humanness, we think we know best, and we're going to do it according to our will, our way, and how we're going to handle it. And what he's saying is that when you get there and you're saying, I know how to handle this, I'm going to do it myself, you've already fallen to sin, and you're enslaved in a stronghold. You can't do it. You need God's help. Amen? That's why the scripture says, I can do all things in what? In whom? In Christ. It didn't say you can do anything. Listen, that's the world's way to do it. Oh, you just put your mind to it and you can do anything. Listen, we put our mind to it. You know what we get? Failure. When we look to a physical ability to solve a spiritual problem, we're already doomed to fail. Satan seeks to enslave us by wrong thinking. And he suggests that, and this scripture suggests that there are strongholds in human reasoning that oppose the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those wrong thinkings, those wrong human ideas oppose God and keep people in bondage. Now, how does that happen? Satan knows that if lies and if deception are shouted long enough, if lies and deception are shouted loud enough, that a lot of people are just going to begin to think, well, this must be true. Have you ever heard that? Have you seen that? That if it's just said enough, sooner or later, even though we know it's wrong, we're either going to yield to it or we're even going to say, well, I guess it's got to be true. That's how Satan wears you down. And that's exactly what's happening in our society today and in our schools today. Let me give you an example. In the school systems and in the social systems today, they are teaching and confusing our children into thinking that they are not supposed to be happy with their born gender. They're telling little boys and little girls, well, you must have been born wrong. Did you know that God's Word says that from the very beginning, before you were formed and even while you were being formed in your mother's womb, He knew you as He formed you into the boy or girl He wanted you to be. And people who are against the Word of God because they don't want to be called sinners are confusing your children and my children in our schools into thinking that God designed them wrong in their sexual orientation. They are literally teaching our children that if you don't question your sexual identity, if you don't question your gender, you're not normal. That makes me angry. That makes me want to tell them, listen, don't you know that God made you just as you are? And God loves you just as you are? And God wants you just as you are? He created you that way. And He loves you. And He's got a purpose for you. Listen, these liberal socialites are telling our kids, if you don't question who you are, something's wrong with you. And they are celebrating them, literally celebrating them when they do then begin to question who they actually are. Listen, all of us need a little attention, amen? Oh, come on now. All of us need a little attention, amen? We do. And it's so nice when someone actually comes to us and says, you're special. You're awesome. You're great. And when they don't get it for who they are, they will begin to look for it in who they are not. That's why mamas, daddies, grandparents, brothers, sisters, friends, we need to make sure that we absolutely love our children for who they are, who God made them to be. And when the school starts saying, or anybody else starts saying, listen, you need to question who you are, we need to say, look, you need to question what they're saying. We need to make sure they know the truth. We need to celebrate them in who they are in Christ and not who the world wants to change them to be. These people, they lie and they teach that if you don't explore perversion, you just won't know whether you're supposed to be there or not. That is exactly why God's Word says, thou shalt not. You go, well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with sticking your finger in a light socket? What's wrong with trying the poison? What's wrong with letting somebody say, well, let's just see if this thing works. I'm going to shoot at your chest. Let's see if it's loaded. People, me and my wife told me not to use this word. How stupid can we be? Come on. These people are lying and teaching our children. If you don't explore the perversion, you just won't know. Don't you realize that in Genesis, that's exactly what Satan did with Adam and Eve? That's exactly what he did. Oh, that's not true. Did God say you can't have anything? No, that's not true. Satan likes to twist the Word of God. Friend, stronghold number one definition says this: an entrenched pattern of thought, an ideology or a value or a behavior that is contrary to the Word of God. And if it's against the Word of God, stay away from it. Teach your children to stay away from it. Let them know that they are who they were literally created to be. I guess that's why Satan works so hard on warping our thinking, because he can make us begin to question things that are absolutely unquestionable before God. That's why he works so hard on us. Your thinking, dear friends, should not be set on what the world is telling you, but what God has told you and on what God does tell you. Not on the whims of humanism, but on the truth of God. When you allow Satan to foster wrong thinking inside of you and in your brain, and you mull it over, listen, you're doing exactly what Satan wants. You take it from your mind, you ask God to remove it from your thinking, and you get to the truth of God. If you follow Satan in wrong thinking, you're in trouble at the very heart of your existence. Why? Let me tell you why. If you don't have God's truth, you don't have truth at all. And if you're trying to base it on what the world is teaching you, you are in trouble at the very heart of your existence. There is a second stronghold. That first stronghold is wrong thinking. The second stronghold is fostering pride. Now, there is no way in the world I can cover everything we need to cover on pride today. So I'm going to reserve that for another Sunday, okay? That way you can get out of here before 12, 30, 40, or 50. A stronghold, or a second stronghold, is fostering pride. Now, pride is also an issue of the mind. It's in your mind. It's in your brain. And pride is thinking too highly of yourself. Thinking too much of old number one. Proverbs 16, verse 18 tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall or before stumbling. Did you know, listen to this, did you know that God has the short list of terrible sins? The short list of what God hates. Hello? Did you know that God loves every human being, every person ever created, every person that lived to be 100, and every person who was never born but was conceived? He loves every person. But did you know that God's Word also says that there are some things that He absolutely, positively, without question, hates? Hello? God hates pride because pride keeps people from Him. Pride. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Pride, and you will be rejected. But humble yourself, and God will lift you up. When you lift yourself up, that's pride. But when you let God lift you up, that's humility. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us that even when we are saved, it is not because we are good, it is not because we are worth it, it is not because we have anything that God needs except that He wants our love to be returned to Him. When we're saved, it's only by the grace of God. So truly, dear friend, there is no room for pride in the Christian life. We'll come back to this one another day. There's a third type of stronghold. The first one was what? Wrong thinking and letting it stay in your mind and in your household. Secondly, the fostering of pride in your life. And third, the fostering of a nature of poor self-worth. So we've got two ends of the spectrum. We've got pride and over here, and then we've got poor self-worth over here. So different ends of the spectrum, and God says they are strongholds, and they are both sin. It's a sin to be prideful, and it is a sin to consider yourself of no worth because God created you, and He says He loves you. That makes you worth a lot. Amen? Stronghold number two says this: a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are contrary to God or to the will of God. Dear friend, in our spirit, when we read God's Word, we know it's the truth. And in our spirit, we know that we are special to God. We know so because the Scripture says that He has loved us with an everlasting love. He's loved us with a what? Everlasting love. That's two words. Let's say it again. He's loved us with what? Everlasting love. That's what God has for you. That's what God has for every person in this world. He loves them, and that's why He's made a bridge to them of His Son for them to return. But there are some who let this fostering of poor self-worth keep them in such a stronghold, in such a prison, that they will not reach out and accept the love of God because all they can do and all they can see and all they can feel and all they can trust is their own ideology that I'm not worth it. And that keeps them from God as well, just as much as pride does on the other end. In our spirit, we know that we are special to God. But Satan continually reminds us of our past and our unworthiness. Can anybody say amen? Have you ever felt unworthy? Have you ever felt sinful? Have you ever felt dirty? Have you ever felt that God couldn't love someone like you? That, friends, is a lie from the pit of hell. And God truly wants you to overcome it. Because that is a lie. The truth is that God has loved you with an everlasting love. How many times has Satan said it to you? Just when you think, I think I'll start going back to church. Ever been there? I think I'm going to get back in the Word. I think I'm going to start going to Bible study. I think I'm going to start praying more. And Satan throws this little thing out at you. You're not good enough for God to love you. Well, remember this and remember this and remember that. Just remember this morning? You don't remember last night? God doesn't love you, he says. Satan throws it out at you. And even if God loves you and you get past that, he says, oh, well, God can't use you, you sinner, you foul up, you no good. Satan wants you to believe that God can't use you. How about this one? You'll never get over your rotten past. How about this one? God didn't really forgive your sins. He's up there counting them right now, remembering all you did. That is not what God's Word says. God's Word says that if you will confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How about this one? Oh, so you're a Christian. You just think you've changed. Give it a little while and watch. You'll see where it goes. Unfortunately, dear friends, Satan is not alone in throwing abuse around, is he? Satan does it to our hearts. He does it to our minds. He does it to our spirit. But unfortunately, the truth is that there are a lot of hurting people out there, and hurting people like to hurt people. Sometimes it was our parents or grandparents or our friends or our brothers or our sisters. And maybe you've heard words like this over the years. Oh, you're just no good. Or how about this? You'll never live up to our expectations. Or can't you do anything right? You'll never amount to. Friends, even if you didn't hear that, there are times that we thought we heard it. There are times that we wanted to believe it. I want you to know that those lies of Satan are used in your mind to keep you in a stronghold of poor self-worth. Now, I'm not saying that we need to go around saying, look, what a good boy am I, or what a great person I am, but what I need you to understand is this. Words and thoughts like we were talking about are difficult to overcome. And we internalize them and poor self-worth results. But I want you to know that even though Satan tries to convince us of those words, and Satan tries to convince us that those words that people tell us and that Satan tell us, he wants us to believe that God believes that and that God says that. But it's just not true. Hang on with me. I'm going to complete this thought. You need to understand that Satan's condemnation of your human condition, of my human condition, unfortunately is absolutely true to a degree. Because without Christ Jesus, I am dead in my sin. Amen? Let me just say this again, and you can just go ahead and agree with it out loud. Without Jesus Christ, the preacher is condemned to be dead in his sin. Amen? And every one of us are. Without Christ, we realize that we are doomed. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We know that God's Word says that there is none good but God. But, dear friends, listen to all the truth. Until we come to the place where we realize that God's Word is true and that we can't reach heaven on our own, that we can't do it through our own goodness, that God is the only one that is good, we have got to learn to trust the truth of God because that's all we've got that is true. We have a Savior. We have a Redeemer. We have a substitute for our sin. And dear friends, God gave it to us in His Word. How many of you remember John 3:16? You remember John 3:16? For God so loved... Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting. How many of you know John 3:17? Listen to this. Don't forget one of the greatest scriptures that follows one of the greatest scriptures. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If I was a little kid, I'd dance. Y'all look that way. I'm back. God sent His Son into this world not to condemn you, but to redeem you, to save you. Satan is a liar. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he does so by convincing us many times that we are unredeemable. That there is no power in the world that can redeem us. But dear friends, you need to remember that when Satan convinces us of that, that we'll never overcome, that we'll never be good enough, that we'll never be able to come to God, that we can never be redeemed, that we are in a stronghold. And a stronghold is a spiritual battle that's difficult to overcome. Our false thinking will lead us to a loss of hope. And friends, listen to me. When we get to that place where we lose our hope, where we think we are unredeemable, where we think we can't get through this, where we think God can't pull us out, then we get even worse than we were before. Because you see, when we get there, we begin to think, well, what's a little more inappropriate behavior going to do? And we begin to do whatever we think is going to feel good, just so that we can feel better for a little while. But friends, I'm going to tell you it's brief. Listen, I can't lie to you and tell you that sin doesn't bring some pleasure at times, but I'm going to tell you this. Sin is always followed by more consequences that rob your peace, your joy, your life. Sex, drugs, food, vacations. Wait a minute, vacations? Listen, we all know how we can get caught up in sex, drugs, food, other things. But how many times have you lived for Saturday? How many times have you lived for vacation? How many times have you lived for the day off, for the holiday? Instead of living every day of life, isn't that exactly what drug and sex and other things do to take our mind off of it? Well, we just don't live for today. We live for whatever it is that we think is going to give us some relief. Listen, friends, God wants us to live every moment of every day with Him, for Him, in Him, and folks, to have an abundant life. He said, I came to give you life and to have it more abundant. Not that you say, well, I'm just going to wait until Saturday. Live today. Let God fill you today. Don't look for the stuff that you think is going to give you a little relief. But God, would you look to God who's going to give you the joy? How do we fight strongholds in our life? The same way we fight every other sin in our life. We battle all strongholds by understanding the truth of God. You battle Satan by knowing the truth of God. Here's the truth. God loves you. And God wants you to be His child. Here's another truth. We are joint heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We are children of God. We mean so much to the Lord God that He sent His Son to redeem us, to die for us. It's true. Amen from God. I love that. Folks, it's true. It's very true. We are not worthy of His love, are we? We're not worthy. How many of you have earned the love of God? How many of you have earned the ability to get into heaven? No one. God's Word says that we cannot earn it. We don't deserve it. But here's the good news. Here's the gospel. We are not worthy of His love, but we are worth it according to Him. There's a difference. We may not be worthy, but according to the love of God, because He loves us so much, we're worth it. You, friend, are worth it. Do not be enslaved, whether it's pride or wrong thinking, or whether it is poor or low self-esteem, into thinking that you are not loved by God. God loves you so much that He said you were worth the death of His Son. Would you pray with me? Friends, we began this message with a prayer, by asking God to help us identify Satan's schemes in our life. Do you remember we prayed that prayer right after we read the Scripture? I'm going to ask, would you pray that prayer with me now? You don't have to say it out loud, but would you agree with this prayer with me? I'm going to pray the prayer again. Would you agree with me? God, help us to think daily about how our thinking processes influence our actions. Would you pray that prayer? God, show us the ways that Satan tries to capitalize on the way we think. Reveal to us his schemes. Help us, God, to identify what Satan is up to. Help us to use your word. And help us to use the strength of your Holy Spirit to defeat his attempts to place our mind in bondage to sin, and our hearts in bondage to sin, and our bodies in bondage to sin. God, open our eyes to spiritual truth. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, could I ask you a question? Would you consider this, even in your prayerful state of heart and mind? Do you trust God? Do you love God? Then will you trust Him to lead your life? You know, we say we love Him, we say we trust Him, but do we trust Him enough to lead our life? If you do, tell Him so right now. Every person here, tell Him so. Just say, God, I do love you. God, I do trust you. And I trust you to lead my life. Would you pray that? And ask Him right now. Say, God, would you take the reins? I'm turning the steering wheel over to you. God, I'm going to give you the direction and the leadership in my life. Would you ask God this? Here's another prayer for you. Please pray this. Would you ask God to break any potential stronghold that's in your life? And if you know what it is, say it out loud. Say it to God. Just say, God, I am struggling with this. I need your help. Are you trusting your own thinking? Are you trusting your own plans instead of God's word? Do you struggle with pride? Do you think, well, I'm better than they are? Oh, dear friend, would you turn it over to God? Maybe you struggle with a poor self-worth. Folks, that is just as big a sin as pride, because you are not trusting God. Do you feel like God wants to help you through that stronghold that you're battling with, but you're just not ready, and you're just going, no, I think I want to stay in my sin a little longer? Would you ask God to help you with that? Confess that as sin too, and ask Him to help you. And right now, right this moment, would you take some time to thank God for loving you? Just tell Him thank you. That, friend, is a part of a spirit of humility. Will you thank God for loving you? Would you thank God for giving His Son to die for you? In that while you were still a sinner, Romans 5:8 tells us, Christ died for you. And if you'll give yourself to serve Him, thank Him for that privilege too. Amen? God, thank you for the privilege to serve.